A lot of issues to talk about with our next guest. He is the man who covers the NFL nationally like no one else for ESPN. And he's brought to us by Univest. That's right, Univest Bank and Trust Co. Wherever you are in business or whatever you need to succeed, choose Univest. Banking, insurance, investments, financial solutions for your business. And the one, the only, Sal Palantonio on the Comcast Business Hotline. Good afternoon, Sal. How are you feeling today?
I was looking forward to going to the White House.
Yeah, you would have been there too.
Yeah, I was on my way down.
Oh, you were on your way?
Oh, yeah.
So when did you get the call? Did you do a UB?
No. Yeah, I did. I got the call late last night. I was on my way. I was looking forward to it. I'm disappointed.
All right, and I can see. I mean, it'd be a good, really good assignment to cover that. But then,
yeah, I've gone there a couple of times for that assignment, but to be there with that team, there's a lot of people in town who are disappointed. There's no question about it. I was listening to your show driving around South Philly earlier, and a gentleman called in and said, you know, the team represents the town, and this is sort of an exclamation point on it, and it would have been nice, but I can totally understand why some people, you know, there's so many different angles to come at this story. I mean, it's one of the most complicated stories that I've ever had to cover.
All right, choose a couple angles that you want to come from on this story, because I have my own angles. I'm now convinced that these visits to the White House should not take place ever until more civilized tones come into this country. And right now, it's a test of wills with minority players against an administration that they don't trust and a president they don't trust. So just eliminate the problem altogether, and you eliminate all this consternation and chaos over the issue. But where do you come from with it?
Well, I never like to take that tack. You know, if you have a problem, you eliminate it instead of solving it. I think it's much more important to solve it than to just go in there and try to wipe it out. So I'm gonna respectfully disagree with my brother Michael on that one. This is a pretty unsolvable issue, however, as it currently stands. They got to figure out to do something. I'll come at it from two angles. One is my specific, unique perspective. I think my perspective is not like anybody else's. I don't think there's anybody else covering a major team at a major network that was an officer in the United States Navy or the military for as long as I was. So I hear a lot of veterans on this issue. And there isn't a monolithic viewpoint. There certainly isn't. There are a lot of veterans who are disappointed, a lot of veterans who are disrespected, but there are a lot of veterans out there who believe you put on the uniform, you put your hand on the Bible, you raise your right hand, as I did, as we all did who served in the military, because you want to protect the freedoms of the country. And the number one freedom is the right to free speech. So there's a lot of people who say, listen, I'm not going out there for nothing and putting my life on the line for nothing. I'm going out there for a big cause. Beyond saving my brother next to me, the big cause is the freedom of the United States, and we were built on protests, and that's cool with me. So it's not monolithic among military people, and it certainly is something that I listen to, and I hear a lot of different viewpoints. But the other thing that I look at is this, Mike. I think both sides, if I may say this, missed an extraordinary opportunity to see one another and look one another in the eye, sit across from one another, and have their ideas exchanged. And I think that when you have a problem like this, you have to sit down and talk to one another about it. And that's what Malcolm Jenkins had the courage to do with the NFL owners and got that $89 million contribution for his social justice causes and for the players. It was Anquan Boldin, Malcolm Jenkins, Torrey Smith, and others who convinced the league to make that contribution, and he put his hand down. You know, the other part of it is this. I think Malcolm Jenkins is, you know, he's such a revelation because you look at that season last year, and I know you know about my book, Philly Special, the inside story about how the Eagles won their first Super Bowl championship.
That's coming out in September, by the way.
It comes out in August.
It's coming out in August, but the release party, big September
shindig. August 1st. Mm-hmm. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. It's the number one new release on Amazon right now, believe it or not.
Congrats.
The Philly fans are gobbling it up. But the reason, you look at the three specific pivot points of the season. One, week three, when the president inserts himself into this anthem issue, it was Malcolm Jenkins who kept the team together and said, we'll stand arm in arm with the Philadelphia Police Department and the Fire Department and the members of the military. We will not kneel. We won't sit. I'll put my fist in the air. Chris Long put his hand on his shoulder, and the team stayed together. Then when Wentz goes down, it was Malcolm Jenkins who made that speech in the locker room at the Coliseum that kept the team together. And then if you listen to him mic'd up in the Super Bowl over and over and over again, it was Malcolm Jenkins in the fourth quarter that implored the team, one stop, one defensive play. We're not getting to Brady. All we got to do is get to him once. It was Jenkins who kept the team together. It was Jenkins who knocked out Brandon Cooks. To me, if you take the quarterbacks out of the equation, the team does not win the Super Bowl without Malcolm Jenkins. That's my view. He is the number one player on that team if you take the quarterbacks out of the equation. So he has earned the right, in my view, to raise his voice. And that's why the team didn't go. I think they followed his lead.
I mentioned that when he came out of that stand, it was almost like you had to cross the Malcolm Jenkins picket line, and he's so well-respected that players couldn't do that. But you said something. I want to go back to something you said earlier about the dialogue that could have taken place. But the dialogue wasn't offered by this president. And because of that, these players can't cross that line because
I'm not blaming the players. I'm not blaming the president. All I'm saying is that there could have been a dialogue, and there wasn't, and there should have been.
Okay, so who's responsible for that? Because there could have been a dialogue. You're right. All the president has to do is say, let's have a dialogue.
Right, but you want to don't blow it up. But what I'm saying is it can still be solved if there's dialogue. That's what has to happen.
You really think so? That it can be solved with dialogue after
I got to have hope.
Okay, but he unleashed the narrative that says the opposite. Instead, he says these guys are unpatriotic, and to prove that they are, we're going to go overboard, and now I'm going to have some patriots in there. I'm going to have Marine bands and military force bands to play anthems, right? Ceremony.
Mike, I'm in the middle of reporting this story, so I'm trying to keep my opinion.
I got you.
And so I'm just trying to point out the angles here, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to point out the inside story of what went down. And it's pretty clear to me that the whole team probably didn't want to go, based mm-hmm. on a vote or whatever. I don't know if a vote was taken. We're going to talk to them tomorrow. Maybe we'll find out a little bit more of the details of what went down. But it sounds like, they've done everything in unison, so why wouldn't they do this in unison? And if you listen to some of the comments from some of the players, they withheld their opinion about whether they were going to go until the team acted together. I think Ertz might have said that. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of them who said it. This team has stuck together. That's the hallmark of this team. And they were, I don't like to use the word across the picket line by mouth. I think this team has always stuck together because it has superior leadership. It has Malcolm Jenkins. It has Jason Peters. It has Jason Kelce, and it has the most important component, and that is a great head coach who listens to people in real time, in a real way, who's authentic. And that you can't overstate the importance of Doug Peterson and his emotional intelligence here. The guy kept it together despite all of the adversity that team. And having written this book and found out exactly what happened went behind the scenes in detail, I can tell you, Mike, it's unprecedented, really, what this team had to go through and who stepped up and how they did it. What this team went through to win that Super Bowl and win it the way they did, even with all of that, winning on a Hail Mary pass that fails at the end, it's such a tremendous story. And I hope that this event does not detract one bit from what this team accomplished. It was amazing and historic, and we can still celebrate it.
Yeah, I'm sure the president's going to tweet that he hopes the Eagles lose on Sunday this coming year. Let me ask you about...
Wow, I gave it a big, beautiful speech, and you just... gave me the cynical misinformation.
No. Your speech was
wonderful.
Your speech was wonderful. I'm just saying that I know what's going to turn into come football season with this president's perspective of the Eagles.
All right. Well, listen, you know what? We'll go down to the shore this summer, and we'll have a nice cigar on the beach. We'll relax a little bit. I'll take you out to Uncle Bill's, whatever it takes. I need you to mellow out on this.
All right, it sounds good. Last question, because I got to ask you about the OTAs and this report coming out that I think Mortensen put it out that he's going to be ready for the opener. Now, that makes a lot of people uncomfortable that he's going
to... What's the gold plate at best, man? You know, he's E.F. Hutton, so...
Yeah.
What else you want from me?
All right, so if he's 100% game one, he's going to play.
What do you want from me? If Mort says it, I'm putting all my chips in, all my stock on the table.
All right, so what angle are we looking at the OTAs quickly?
But let me ask you this one. This guy just called you up and said, LeBron, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, are you kidding me? They would kill. They would absolutely kill Curry.
Yeah, I don't know about kill, but they would win.
Oh, my God, they'd wipe the floor with LeBron. Are you kidding me? If he had help? If he had Draymond Green on the team? And if he had an enforcer and a shooter, he would win. He could play till he was 50.
Do you like LeBron to win a game in this series?
Yes, I think they'll win the next one. It'll be one of those gentlemen sweeps, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not feeling it. All right, man, listen, we'll talk to you about the OTAs.
Next week. Yeah, we got mandatory minicamp next week.
Yep, that's correct.
All right, I'll talk to you,
Mike. All right, see you. There he is, Sal Pal.